Shabbat Shalom. The other night I was showing Yael and Gavi, my twin five-year-olds, how to cook. And they made this brilliant observation. They asked me why the fire on the stove is blue, but when we light Shabbat candles, the fire from the candle is white. It's a brilliant observation, I think, for a five-year-old. So I ran to my study, I grabbed my Bible, and I opened up to the verse which connects the word oven, tanur, with the word blue, kachol, and the word candle, ner, with the word white. And I showed it to them, and that's why. Now I'm kidding, of course. It would be preposterous for me to answer that question in that way. Right, I should explain to them the different materials, gas versus the wick, burn at different temperatures. And that means it has a different energy and it's emitting photons which have a different wavelength with which we see as a different color of light. I should have given them that scientific explanation. For some reason, though, when we start asking questions about creation and evolution, we don't see a problem, though, about running to our study and pulling the Chumash off the shelf and pointing to the answers in the book. And we don't search out a purely scientific explanation. Now, there's a great debate in this country about whether we should teach creationism alongside of evolution in our schools. And people get very worked up about this issue. But I actually think that the whole debate, the whole argument is actually really a house of cards because it's based on this premise that we should read the Bible as a science textbook. And if that's true, then how come we don't subject every scientific discovery to biblical corroboration? You know, science has proven that water at one atmosphere of pressure boils at 100 degrees Celsius. But we don't look to the Torah to show us a verse that proves that. A little over 50 years ago, science was trying to discover what part of a cell contains the information which tells us the cell what it should do. Should it be a heart cell, a liver cell? There was a debate. They didn't know. Was it the proteins in the cell or was it the DNA? And they did some experiments and they figured out it was the DNA. But we didn't have people running to the Bible to find corroboration, to find proof for that. So why is it that only evolution has to be corroborated by the Bible? And if the Bible disagrees with evolution, then evolution is clearly wrong. And then creationism has to be taught alongside evolution in our schools, in our public schools. And if that is okay, every other aspect of religion should be okay, but we say, no, there's a separation between church and state. Now, the debate between creationism and evolution is really just the latest battle in a long-standing war between science and religion. I think many people see science and religion on this never-ending collision course. They're always going to confront each other. They're always going to be at odds, but I really don't think that they have to be. I think that science and religion can exist quite nicely together. I think that the history explains the animosity between science and religion. Because I think originally science and religion both sought to answer these fundamental questions about the natural phenomena of the universe. Science and religion both tried to create some kind of order out of the chaos, out of the seeming randomness of life. You know, why did it rain on Wednesday? But it's not raining today and it's not going to rain tomorrow. Ancient religions had very clear, very easy answers. Well, our sacrifices on Wednesday were good. They appeased the rain god. Today, not so good. No rain. You know, it was very clear for the ancient Greeks, the ancient Romans, just figure out which god you need to pray to and offer a sacrifice and make sure it's the right one and you'll get what you need from the natural world. And to a certain extent, the ancient Israelites believed something similar. Of course, they didn't parcel it out to many gods. It believed in the one true God, but there was a very similar correlation between natural phenomena and our exact actions on a particular day. But today I think we feel much more comfortable saying it rained on Wednesday because there was this system coming in off the Pacific because of an El Nino and there was a certain dew point and a low pressure system. We're okay with that explanation. We're also okay with saying that God created a universe with natural laws that we slowly discover. What happened, though, really, in these intervening centuries was a huge fight between science and religion because they sought to answer the same questions in a similar way. And I think that science has actually won. Science has really done an amazing job in its goal of trying to explain the natural phenomena of our universe. And it seems as though religion has been routed. Religion is on the defensive. And it's true to a certain extent. Because I think that religion will always lose the battle of trying to explain natural phenomena by means of experiments and by means of proofs. Because science and religion really use two different techniques of looking at that question. Science requires a proof. Science requires an experiment that you can replicate. Religion just requires belief in a set of principles. Now, why did Hurricane Katrina a number of years ago, why did it hit New Orleans? Now, scientists will explain to you how hurricanes form, water temperatures and currents in the Gulf of Mexico. But I heard an evangelical preacher say, I know why Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. It was a sinful city. Now, who's right? Now, we may laugh at that preacher's explanation or even be shocked or angered by it. But it makes perfect sense to him according to his religious logic. He sees sin. He knows God punishes sin. He looks into the Bible and he finds precedent. We're going to read about it next week, Noah and the flood. So it makes perfect sense. Now, the scientist can argue with the preacher all he wants, but he's never going to win the argument on scientific grounds because the preacher's never going to argue on scientific grounds. For the scientist to win that argument, he would have to argue on religious grounds. And that's really the crux of the issue. People think that science and religion are confronting each other because they're seeking to answer the same question, and I think that they used to. But they're actually speaking past each other. Because they're arguing their sides from completely different perspectives, from completely different principles. And that kind of argument can never be won. And we can sit down and try to play a game of chess. And you start moving your pieces like chess, and I start jumping them like I'm playing checkers. Now, how can anyone ever win that game if we can't even agree on how the rules work? Now, I was trained as a scientist, and I'm comfortable letting science explain all of the natural phenomena in the universe. I personally completely cede all of that ground to science. But I think that religion is absolutely necessary because it has to answer for us the question of how or why we should live. You know, science can try and get that, but their best explanation will be life goes on because we should perpetuate it. And that's it. Science can explain how a tree grows, but it doesn't tell me how to interact with that tree. Science and religion, I think, can live together without confrontation because they're going to now address different questions. And I think that's why we're comfortable letting science explain the natural phenomena while we seek religious wisdom to teach us how to live moral and ethical lives. We'll leave science to explain why it rains. But we're still left with the ultimate question. We're still left wondering, why are we here? And that's why there's still this debate between creationism and evolution. Because we're okay with science explaining everything that we experience today in the natural world, but we still need to know our origins. Did God put us here, or are we just the product of random events? And then this causes us to ask, how should we read the Bible? If we believe that God created us and the Torah teaches us about how that happened, then it should corroborate with science, or somehow the science is faulty. Now, there's a strong desire among many religious people to harmonize the Bible with the recent scientific discoveries. One example is Dr. Gerald Schroeder, who wrote the book Genesis and the Big Bang. He's going to actually be here in February speaking at Sinai. And he posits that we can absolutely say that the world was created in 6 days, and that's actually equivalent to the modern scientific rendering that the world is 10 to 20 billion years old. And how does he work those two numbers together? Well, he uses Einstein's special theory of relativity, which explains that time moves at different paces for different people if they're in different reference frames, moving at different velocities. You may have heard about this phenomenon, that if you have a clock here on Earth and you send a clock up into space, the time actually slows down because of their increased velocity. Astronauts age more slowly than we do when they are up in space traveling so fast. Now, he may be correct in his math. We can check him when he gets here. But when I hear that explanation, I feel like he's trying to force a certain reading onto the Bible. I feel like he's trying to force a reading that was never the original intention of the Bible. There are others who accept all of the scientific discoveries that we have today as correct, but they claim, they say, look at the gaps, because science doesn't explain everything. They say, look at the gaps, that's where we see God's hand. This is the various theories known as intelligent design. And because science hasn't explained all of the natural phenomena, it must be explained by God. Every gap can be seen as God's hand in history and in science, nudging creation along in the direction that God originally chose. Now, intelligent design is fine to believe in, but it does pose a tremendous possible pitfall. If we say that, for example, evolution doesn't explain exactly how we got here because there are gaps, there are pieces that don't fit exactly into that theory, and we point to those elements and we say, see, there's the hand of God working, we leave open the possibility of actually destroying God. Because what if in 100 years we have a better theory? What if in 100 years we've explained all of those gaps and we said that was where God is? We've then totally removed God from the equation. Now, I would like nothing more than to have a scientific proof for God and for God's existence and for God's work in the universe. But religion is not in the proof business. We're in the belief business. I don't ever say, I prove that God exists. I believe that God exists. And because I believe that God exists, then I live my life in a particular way. I think that there is a way to say that science is correct and that God created the universe without having to read the Bible in a forced reading and without leaving ourselves open to this possibility of eliminating God from the universe. And I think that it's a much simpler and actually a much more traditional way of reading the Bible. As I mentioned, I don't think that the Bible was written as a science textbook, and I don't think that we should read it as a science textbook. Dr. Nachum Sarna, who was one of the greatest 20th century biblical scholars, put it succinctly when he said, "It should be obvious by the nature of things that the story of creation cannot possibly be the product of human memory," right? We weren't there at the time, at least until the sixth day, "nor in any modern sense of the word, a scientific account of the origin and nature of the physical world. Biblical man, despite his undoubted intellectual and spiritual endowments, did not base his views of the universe and its laws on the critical use of empirical data. Hence, it is naive and futile to attempt to reconcile the biblical accounts of creation with the foundings of modern science." He says the Bible wasn't written to be understood by people who didn't understand science. Science is a modern phenomenon. He says the proper way to read the Bible is to read it as it was intended, as a religious document. It's supposed to teach us about faith and about the proper way that we should live our lives. Rashi, the great biblical commentator, takes up this mantle in his first comment on the first few words of the Torah. He says, why is the Torah starting with creation? It should start with laws, right? If the Torah is teaching, it should start in Exodus, where we get the first set of laws. It doesn't make sense to have it start with stories. But he's wise. Of course, he knows the answer to his own question, and he answers it by saying that we need the stories of Genesis. We need them to explain the foundational principle of the entire religion, the foundation of all the mitzvot that we are supposed to observe. The purpose of the creation stories in their broadest sense is to establish God as the creator of the universe, and therefore everything is subordinate to God. Because if we believe, as I have asserted, that religion has to answer this question of how we should live, We can legitimately ask, on what authority does religion dictate this to us? And that's why we need Genesis. That's why we need to establish that God is the creator of the universe, and based on that simple authority, God can give us mitzvot. Because God then owns everything. God owns our very lives. Even though we think that we own things, we actually don't. Everything that we own, the entire universe, is given to us on a loan. And the loan comes with restrictions, and in Judaism we call those restrictions mitzvot. So therefore we don't read Genesis literally. As Jews, we never have. You know, does a day have to mean a 24-hour day? No. It can be a metaphor for order. First there was this, then there was this. The Rambam believes that the Bible is full of metaphors. He actually insists that certain passages have to be read as metaphors. You know, when we say that God took us out of Egypt with an outstretched arm, we're not supposed to imagine that literally there was this huge arm that came out of the sky and scooped up the Israelites. It can't be that, because God's not physical, so it has to be a metaphor. How can we understand the concept of day? It must be a metaphor. How do we even measure a day? It's the amount of time it takes the earth to revolve around its axis, and we measure that relative to the sun, but the sun's not made till the fourth day. How are we supposed to measure the revolutions of the earth relative to the sun without a sun? As Brittany mentioned in her Dvar Torah, the rabbis in the Middle Ages said it must be a metaphor. Maybe one day means 1,000 years, and they have a proof from the Book of Psalms. I feel more comfortable believing in God as the creator who began the universe, but who didn't necessarily need to help it along at the different stages. And I think that this is a claim that science can never challenge. Science can try and explain every moment of the universe's existence after the Big Bang, starting at 1/1,000,000,000th of a second after the Big Bang, but it can never explain the moment of the Big Bang. Science can never explain that moment when all the matter and energy of the universe was contained in one infinitesimally small spot. The physicists call this a singularity. Science cannot ever explain how long this singularity existed, or even if anything existed before it. Because everything that we see in the world and time is measured relative to the Big Bang. So I believe that God created the universe. Science, if science says it's as a singularity, then as a singularity. And then the universe proceeded to exist, and there was a Big Bang, and it continues to expand. We will never know what really happened before that. So that's why we say we believe. We believe that God created the universe. Science and religion were competing for people's hearts and minds for centuries. But I think that as Jews, we've always believed and accepted that science and religion really are complementary to each other. And as science progresses and helps us better understand our universe, I think that religion progresses and helps us better understand our place in the universe. Shabbat Shalom.